Live from the Brim Snack Food Studios at the KWAM Broadcast Center, it's time to Wake Up Memphis with Tim Van Horn.
7:06, good morning. Welcome to hour number two of Wake Up Memphis on the Mighty 990, FM 107.9 and AM 990. We're streaming all the time at Mighty990.com. The gang is gathering all at the Facebook Live page as well. Good morning to the usual suspects out there. How y'all doing? She's Grace, he's Kenny, I'm Tim. Our phone number in just a moment. I want to tempt you with a KWAM prize pack for this trivia question. Last night, the Kansas City Chiefs won the second game of the doubleheader. They punched their tickets to the Super Bowl in Tampa, Florida, a week from Sunday. Who will they be playing in Super Bowl 55? Is it the Green Bay Packers? Is it the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Or will it be the Dallas Cowboys? And our discussion continuing this hour regarding Joe Biden's executive orders. There's been so many executive orders out there, from transgenders to the XL pipeline and more. He is going at a record pace. Which executive order or orders are getting you hot under the collar? Some of these things are just downright frightening. Give us a call. Join the conversation. 901-260-5926. 901-260-KWAM. And if you think Joe Biden's doing a hell of a job, give us a call as well. Tell us why you would think that Joe Biden is doing a good job. I welcome folks from both sides of the political spectrum for some civil conversation. We try to be one of those last outposts here at KWAM where you can have a differing opinion and actually get a word in. Give us a call this morning. We would love to hear from you. So it's as Grace mentioned, 70 degrees for a high later today. Unbelievable. And not only that, it's been a pretty fast-paced morning. First hour seemed to zoom by. We've got warm weather on the way. Sarah Huckabee Sanders has now officially put out a video announcing she is running for governor of Arkansas for 2022, which is still a ways off. But I guess now, if you're going to do fundraising, now's the time to get the word out. I think that she is going to probably have herself a pretty good chance of winning this. She is already going to be in the midst, I believe, of at least two other contenders in the Republican primary. So it is not going to be one where, at least at this point, where she's going to be unopposed on the Republican side. So she's going to have to do some work, and we will do our best to make sure we get her on the air here at some point during the Republican primary and hopefully the general election as well. We know her daddy, so that may help just a little bit, right, Mike? Yeah, so that might help just a little bit. Yes, Kenny, good morning, sir.
No, I completely agree. I think that you talk about name recognition in Arkansas. I mean, probably the two most prominent political names in Arkansas would be Clinton and Huckabee, right?
I would think so, yeah.
And I don't know the machinations of Arkansas politics, but I would think that she, having established herself as a spokesperson for Donald Trump's administration, as the White House press secretary, I thought she did a marvelous job in that position.
Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine that she's going to get much of a challenge from the Republican Party, and I just would think that she should. Again, the theory is, for me, she should win big, but I thought Trump was going to win big a few weeks ago. How'd that work out? So
well. We can go down that rabbit hole, but
of course, it's too early for that rabbit hole.
Yeah, no. Of course, the truth is, I think it's going to be an interesting race. And you spoke to her job as White House spokesperson. I would have a tough time picking between her and between Kayleigh McEnany, which one I would prefer. I mean, they were both so good.
Were both great.
Yeah.
Because that can be a tough job.
And when you are
because you got the left-wing media just pummeling you at every opportunity.
Yeah, well, when you're a Republican White House spokesperson, you have to have the added benefit of being fast on your feet, because you're going to get peppered with questions left and right about,
and thick skin.
Yeah.
Very thick skin.
Very, very much so. Other top stories, we want to also let you know that there's, as far as we can tell, nobody in the Mid-South won the Powerball or Mega Millions. There were single tickets that were won over the weekend. 700 plus million for one, $1 billion for the other, and it was each were won on one ticket. So So whoever got that is going to get the whole kit and caboodle after taxes and whatnot, and we can go through that math ad nauseum. But let's just say they're going to be set up for at least
they're going to be in pretty good shape.
Yeah, they're going to be in pretty good shape. Also, over the weekend, you may have seen this on ToddStarnes.com. Violence just went down the road. It didn't take it's maybe like a 5-iron to the south, Tacoma, Washington. Some violence over the weekend. Some demonstrations over the weekend. There was an angry mob that had surrounded and was banging on a police cruiser, according to radio station KTTH. The crowd was, quote, violently punching and kicking his vehicle so much that it was rocking back and forth. They surrounded the vehicle. He tried to back up but couldn't. Some people were yelling to pull the cop out of the car. The cop was surrounded and he was being attacked. And you know what he did? He put his foot on the gas pedal. He got out of there. He knocked some people over. According to Tacoma police, quote, the officer, fearing for his safety, tried to back up but was unable to do so because of the crowd. People, if you're in the street, you do sort of run the risk of getting hit. And now they're trying to say this officer was trying to use deadly force. Well, when you're being attacked, you do have a right to protect yourself.
Absolutely. I mean, get out of the way. You're on a street. He has a right to be driving down that street. And if you're surrounding his car and he feels threatened, I don't fault him a bit, if indeed we're getting the story accurately.
Well, and in Tacoma, fires, windows bashed out.
Of course.
Rioting, which is really not that difficult, because really it only takes a few minutes to herd up the Antifa bus from Seattle and ship a few down to Tacoma. You know, that can kind of be like their AAA farm club. And let them go down there and wreak some havoc.
The Antifa Farm Club.
I mean,
we're a AAA affiliate of Antifa. That's funny.
All subsidized by the same folks, I suspect. But Tacoma, and you can read more about that at ToddStarnes.com. But yes, some more violence on the left that completely goes unchecked. I mean, it's almost like, well, they need to be heard. Well, I think we've seen and heard enough. I think we know what they're about now. How about squashing this and then maybe just put it would put the clamps on it for good. But I don't think Democrat governance, I don't think government leaders of the Democrat Party want this squashed. I think they want the chaos. I think they want the distraction, because you're watching over here while they've got other kinds of just wild stuff going on with the other hand. I think it's a great distraction for them.
Totally agree.
Coming up in just a few moments, we're going to talk about the executive order on the Keystone Pipeline. One state is already having buyer's remorse on Joe Biden. We'll tell you who is benefiting from the Keystone Pipeline. That's coming up in just a moment, but I'm going to hit the refresh button on this hour's trivia question, and here you go. On this date in 1961, Grace Baker's favorite Disney film was released in the U.S. For entertainment, it hit the spot. Was it Beauty and the Beast? Was it 101 Dalmatians? Or was it the Apple Dumpling Gang? Give us a call on the trivia question, Grace's favorite movie. If you know that, if you know a little bit about Grace, and we've talked about this subject numerous times, you get yourself a KWAM prize pack. And our conversation continues on executive orders. Joe Biden's just letting them fly out of there like Tic Tacs. Which ones have you hot under the collar? Which ones are the most detrimental to our country? Give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-KWAM. You're listening to Wake Up Memphis.
You're listening to the Mighty 990 KWAM.
You're listening to Wake Up Memphis on the Mighty 990 FM, 107.9 and AM 990. Mighty990.com is where we are streaming all the time. You can pick us up around the globe. Maybe if you've got good, satellite internet in outer space, if you're on the space station, you can pick us up as well if you want to know what's happening in the United States. Top stories this morning. We've got Powerball and Mega Millions winners over the weekend, a $1 billion and a $700 million ticket winner. Also, we've got violence in Tacoma as a police officer, fearing for his life, drove through a crowd, hit a few folks, and then moved on. There was rioting after that. windows bashed, burning of flags and whatnot. Basically, just sent part of Antifa down from Seattle. They branched out to Tacoma, just a stone's throw from Seattle, and raised some hell down there. Your University of Memphis Tigers won big yesterday, 80-53 over East Carolina. They beat a team that they should have beaten easily, and they did, moving to 8-5 and 4-2 in the American Athletic Conference. How about them Grizz? Well, I don't know. I can't remember the last time they played. Their fifth consecutive game has been postponed due to contact tracing with COVID. Their next game is set for this weekend. We'll see if they'll be able to pull that off. And oh, by the way, some bones were found, human remains were found on the south end of Mud Island. Who they are, how long they were there, or how did they get there, we don't know these answers yet, but it does make for an interesting story. Maybe Indiana Jones can figure those things out. We want to hear from you this morning. We've got our trivia question for this hour. On this date in 1961, Grace Baker's favorite Disney film was released in the U.S. For entertainment, it hit the spot. The spot. Was it Beauty and the Beast? Was it 101 Dalmatians? Or was it the Apple Dumpling Gang? Give us a call on that. And then our conversation continues with the executive orders. There's been a flurry from Joe Biden. Which one or which ones have gotten you hot under the collar? Which ones you think are a detriment to the U.S.? Give us a call at 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-KWAM. I want to talk about the Keystone Pipeline for a few moments. And I teased this last hour about it's not all bad news for Americans by shutting down the Keystone Pipeline, because there are some that will actually benefit from this.
Do tell.
I shall tell. Well, the pipeline, the screaming and gnashing of teeth has been that it is not environmentally safe, it is dangerous, that it is a bad, bad thing. Well, let's go back to what was the slogan, or what is the slogan of the Biden administration? It was the three B's, wasn't it? Build back
better.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's a big fan of infrastructure. Well, last time I checked, pipeline is, say it with me, infrastructure. Thank you very much. The 1,200-mile pipeline from Alberta, Canada, to the U.S. Gulf Coast carrying crude oil was set to continue to be worked on. And a study back in the Obama administration had shown that this pipeline would generate over $2 billion in wages. But this infrastructure project has now come to a screeching halt. So now what has to happen? Well, a couple of things are going to happen. This is going to slow the distribution and the amount of oil coming in and through our country. And it will also reduce the amount that we send because of the speed of the pipeline. It will reduce the amount that we can refine at our refineries across the country, which means we're going to lose the mantle as the leader in oil production. The U.S. under President Trump had actually gained that mantle, because we do have massive amounts of oil sitting under us. We have an embarrassment of riches of those, and we finally began tapping into those. But with the Keystone Pipeline now shut down, the winners will be those that now get to ship that oil from Canada and from the U.S. And I will tell you, there are two ways that it will go: by truck and by rail. So the biggest winner out of all of this, besides the tree huggers that want this stopped, it's going to be Warren Buffett. Will be a big winner, because why? Berkshire, you know, the Berkshire Hathaway Company has a ton of railroads, and which means that Mr. Buffett is going to be benefiting massively from the Keystone Pipeline shutting down. You don't hear him talking about what a bad thing this is. Of course not. This is going to hit him right in the pockets in a good way. That and the real estate boom, because he's got Berkshire Hathaway real estate as well. This is going to be a massive year for Warren Buffett, but he's going to do well. The trucking companies are going to do very well, because, again, you don't use the pipeline. Now you've got to actually pay vendors to ship that in the carts, or in the, I guess, the bins, whatever the appropriate term is, the vessels, by truck and by train to get them across the country. And you know what? You've got to hire numerous amounts of those. You don't have just the pipeline itself, but you got to hire drivers. You got to hire the vehicles to do this, whether it be the trains or whether it be the trucks on this. And for those that say, well, you know, this pipe was very dangerous, I have a statistic for you that's going to blow your mind on why this has been overblown about the Keystone Pipeline itself and why having this pipeline really is not that big of a deal. In the United States, there are over 2.6 million miles of pipeline under the U.S. soil. That is enough to get to the moon and back more than five times. That's what's already in place in the United States. That's a ton of pipes. Is there a risk? Of course. But there's also a risk of a train derailment. There's a risk of a wreck on the interstate with vehicles. There's risk in pretty much everything. But the Keystone Pipeline has not been one that has been a problem up to this point. They've had no massive issues with this. If you look at the data from 2018, large trucks were involved in 4,862 fatal crashes, 112,000 crashes that resulted in injury, and 414,000 crashes which resulted in property damage. So you tell me which is safer and which is greener, trains and trucks or a pipeline that you can't see that's underground?
I would vote pipeline, yeah.
But you've got President Biden, with the stroke of a pen, has wiped all of that out in one fell swoop, canceling the contracts, and now it's going to cost so much more. So when you see the cost of fuel going up at the pump, you can attribute a lot of that directly to Joe Biden wiping that out, because now logistically, you've got companies that are having to pay these drivers and this other infrastructure to deliver these products across the country, first to the refineries, and then the refineries have to get that out, and they have to bump up their cost to pay for getting the oil in the first place. So this is an awful executive order. They try to wipe it out, paint it, broad brush it as safe for the environment. But when you're talking about 414,000 crashes, which involved in property damage, and you're talking about 4,800, almost 4,900 fatal crashes, You're putting the human element into this, and when you do, you're introducing more risk. And with what happens with crashes, you get oil spills. Remember Exxon Valdez?
Yes.
Oh, remember that? You get oil spills. You know, and that's just by boat. But a train derailment, it overturns. What are you going to do? You know, and how ironic would it be if there was a train derailment and there was an oil spill directly over part of the XL pipeline? How ironic would that be? Seriously. So, folks, the Keystone Pipeline is not just about being green, and it shouldn't be just about posturing and virtue signaling that it's a bad thing. Because, folks, like I said, we've got over 2.5 million miles of pipes under this country already, to the moon and back five freaking times. But we're cutting this off. We're basically putting America last with this. That's exactly what it is. It's not America first. It's America last. Venezuela is going to be laughing at us again. I'm sure the Middle East laughing at us again, because we were able to be not only self-sustaining, but we could also have built up our oil reserves and also turned around and sold all this riches of oil that we were getting through U.S. and through Canada and selling this back. But no, that's not happening now. And then the tens of thousands of jobs that he's already cut with this. There's so many bad things about this. This might be the worst one. But then
it would get my vote for sure.
Yeah. But then I look at transgender rules.
It's all bad.
Which basically cancels out women. Which one of these is the worst? Or is there another executive order that you absolutely think is the worst? Join our conversation this morning. Give us a call and answer our trivia question, too. If you know a little bit about Grace, this is a slam dunk. On this date in 1961, Grace Baker's favorite Disney film was released in the U.S. For entertainment, it hit the spot. Was it Beauty and the Beast? Was it 101 Dalmatians? Or was it the Apple Dumpling Gang? I'll tell you, on two of those, if you guess, you're barking up the wrong tree. Give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-KWAM. Coming up at 7:50, we've got Leah Stanley. We're talking about being a caregiver to parents that may have Alzheimer's or dementia. We've got bottom of the hour news, weather, and traffic first, though, on the Mighty 990. 7:35, you're listening to Wake Up Memphis on the Mighty 990, FM 107.9, AM 990, and the Mighty 990.com. Stream us live there anytime, all the time. Facebook Live, our friends checking in across the internets this morning, chiming in and joining in our online conversation as well. Appreciate you doing that. Leah Stanley joins us at 7:50. We're going to talk about long-term caregiving for those with Alzheimer's, dementia. For those of you that have parents that you're having to take care of, this is going to be a great conversation, or if there's a possibility you may need to do that. Don't miss this interview coming up at 7:50. She's got a great book. She's been hanging out with Dr. Oz on and at I guess you can call it conventions, but she's been on. She is an expert on this, and it's not just the caregiving, but the logistics as well, because you do have to have your head about you during what can be an emotionally difficult time. So join that. Join us at 7:50. We got Ben Pearman at 8:50, the head coach of Memphis 901 FC. The league has announced what their schedule is going to be for next season, at least the general format. We're going to talk to Ben about that, talk just a little bit about that schedule. It's nice that somebody's going to be playing, because the Memphis Grizzlies have not played in the last five games because of coronavirus contact tracing. So hopefully we'll get some basketball soon. Super Bowl is set now. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers will be hosting. I said hosting because there has never been an NFL team actually host a Super Bowl at the stadium that they play in. This is the first time that the team that is participating in the Super Bowl actually has their home games there in 55 years. It's absolutely incredible. They'll be taking on the Kansas City Chiefs.
Do you realize that, and this is just happenstance, that also they will be the home team. The NFC was going to be the home team at Super Bowl 55. Not only are they playing on their home turf, but it wouldn't have been strange, though, if the NFC was the visiting team on the bracket this year. Could have happened. And then Tampa Bay would be playing on their home turf as the visiting team.
It would be slightly unusual, but I believe at the Liberty Bowl, when the University of Memphis Tigers played Iowa State in the Liberty Bowl, I believe the University of Memphis was the road team against Iowa State.
Yeah.
It happens. It happens. Anyway, that's the big sports story. Our top stories, the impeachment for President Trump, that will begin apparently as early as today in the Senate, as Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says he's going to press the case. He has Mitt Romney and perhaps at least a couple of other Republican senators on his side. They would need 67 to convict in a trial and to impeach President Trump after the fact. Also, in top stories over the weekend, and you could see this at toddstarnes.com. He also tweeted it out too. In Tacoma, Washington, there was a police officer who was surrounded by protesters who had been pushing and hitting his vehicle. You could hear screams of "get the cop out of the car." The police officer, in his mind, thinking, okay, I'm in a spot of trouble. He drove away. He hit a few pedestrians that were in the road. After that, all hell broke loose, of course, in Tacoma. Windows broken, fire set, which really is not that far of a stretch in the imagination, because it's just basically a five iron south of Seattle. So you send some of the rioters from Seattle, you just farm them out to Tacoma to raise some cane, and that's what's been going on there. But the police officer says that was self-defense, and who can blame him? If you've got your car rocking and you have nowhere to go, you try to back up, they block you. You try to go forward, they block you. And if you're in the street, there is that slight inherent risk that you may be in the way of a vehicle. Just a slight risk of that going on. We're going to continue to keep eyes on what's happening in Tacoma. Also, Sarah Huckabee Sanders announces that she is going to throw her hat in the ring, and she will be in the Republican primary running for the governorship of Arkansas. That, of course, comes up in November of 2022. But it's never too soon to get in and begin fundraising. Of course, she has a strong name, recognizability as a White House spokesperson. But if she were elected governor, she would be a second-generation governor following her dad, Mike Huckabee. So some interesting stories as we start the week off. And then, of course, we have that crazy story, Grace and Kenny, of bones found on the south end of Mud Island over the weekend. And not by police, but by landscaping company.
Yeah, and that's such a popular spot for tourists. You know, it's frequented often. So the fact that somebody just, you know, possibly, we don't know yet, but possibly went and dumped a body there is insane.
I mean, just the stories, there's so many different ways this story could turn out. It could be somebody that was killed and dumped there. It could have been somebody that drowned. And yes, when not just the how, but then the when? How old? Mm-hmm. How old is this body? How long has it been in the Mississippi River? I guess before it washed up. Could it be recent? Could it be hundreds of years old? Could it be, you know?
Are the science folks, like the whether it's the coroner or somebody else, are they able to get a pretty good idea of the age of the bones when they get them in the lab?
I have watched numerous seasons of NCIS, and I would be able to tell you from my expertise that I think that there will be a coroner or somebody in forensics that will be able to give at least a decent idea of how long, I would think.
Yeah, because again, if it turns out that the bones are 100 years old, there's no story there, except that's just kind of an unpleasant discovery for the landscape guys. If they are fresh, well, now you've got something. Yeah. And the other thing, can you extract DNA from bones? And if so, you could put that in the database. And if somebody's registered with either a criminal background or somebody's registered with ancestry.com, you might be able to identify them if, again, they're recent bones.
Tim, though, you know another crazy story that happened this past weekend? Did you hear about the Georgia teen who was accused of stealing almost $1 million from a Kroger?
Wait a second. From a Kroger? They yes. don't carry that much
and
money.
See, I know that's not local, was that in groceries? Kroger's here.
Was that in groceries?
They don't, you know, Kroger's don't just sell food. They sell gift cards and stuff.
Yeah.
He's 19 years old.
Yeah, but those gift cards aren't good though, unless you activate
them,
right?
That's correct. They're worthless unless you activate them.
That sounds sounds like a lot of crab legs to me, but how did they do it?
Well, that's a great question. Well, he's 19 years old, an employee at the store. He stole $980,000 during two weeks. He did this. And he made a scheme. His scheme was he made returns.
All right, I'm taking note of this. How did this happen?
Non-existent purchases.
Wait, do what now?
He made returns on non-existent purchases is what he did.
How do you do that?
Don't ask me.
And plus, how many returns do you have to make to ratchet up that kind of number?
He made 40.
But what was the total?
And did he go to the same store?
He said he made 40 returns that ranged in price from $75 to $87,000.
$87,000?
And he
yikes.
Put the returns on credit cards, and then he used the money to buy clothes, two cars, and guns.
Wait a second.
I got to
pull up my calculator. Hang on. $980,000.
Yes.
Hang on. Divided by 40.
It gets worse.
You said 40 trips? So his average return was $24,500, basically an economy car.
And it gets worse. So two of the cars he bought, he totaled one of them before he was arrested.
Wow. Well, that's why he had to go back. That's why he had to go back. He had to get another car.
He was released from jail on about $11,000 bail.
And let me guess, he used some Visa debit cards to do that, right? That he stole from Kroger, right?
How do you not have your eyebrows go up if you're Kroger when there's like an $80,000 transaction?
Wait a minute.
I think that would raise a pretty good sized flag.
That's a lot of organic avocados.
I think I've spent maybe the largest transaction I've ever done at Kroger, maybe about $150.
I feel like you'd have to buy a bunch of vegan food and stuff because that's the more expensive stuff and everything has to be organic.
$80,000. I mean, does Kroger have like a BMW lot or something that we're just not aware of?
I know, but this is in Georgia. You never know.
Jeez Louise. Well, that is a crazy story. And you said he's out on bail?
Yeah, he's been released from jail on $11,000 bail.
Well, thank goodness that we got a guy out on bail that stole and stole and stole and then got his own car and then he bought some guns. So he should be really easy to get back
and
to court, right?
And two cars and he totaled one of them.
Jeez Louise.
So clearly he's not very bright.
Oh, shit.
Bad guys rarely are.
No.
There's all kinds of stories about bad guys.
And he is 19.
Screwing up.
Well,
younger than me.
Well, and he's not even old enough to drink yet. I mean, this sounds like the plot of a couple of guys like from the movie Office Space trying to figure out how to get back at the boss. Well, you know, if we do this non-existent and we round up the one,
he didn't steal any beer, probably.
No, probably that would have tripped him up.
Fake ID, guys.
Yeah,
never know.
Yeah, but see, then he would have risked those charges. I think he had himself. He thought a foolproof scheme, and then
I'm sure.
There's always some way or somebody ratted him out and then it was over with. Coming up, we've got a serious conversation. We're talking about care for the elderly, caring for your parents, honoring thy father and thy mother. Leah Stanley is a noted author and a speaker. She joins us in just a moment to not just talk about her latest book, but to give us practical advice on how to care for our parents. It's more than just emotional. It has to be logistical as well. It's a 360 approach with Leah Stanley coming up in just a moment on Wake Up Memphis. Our trivia question for this hour: on this date in 1961, Grace's favorite Disney film was released in the U.S. For entertainment, it hit the spot. What movie was this? Was it Beauty and the Beast? Was it 101 Dalmatians? Or was it The Apple Dumpling Gang? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-KWAM. You are listening to Wake Up Memphis.
You're listening to the Mighty 990 KWAM.
You're listening to Wake Up Memphis on the Mighty 990, FM 107.9, AM 990. We are streaming all the time at Money990.com. Coming up at 8:50, Memphis 901 FC head coach Ben Pearman. The USL League has released its format for the 2021 season. Yep, it looks like there will be pro soccer in Memphis. We'll talk to the coach and find out exactly how that's going to go down. That's coming up at 8:50. Our trivia question this morning: on this date in 1961, Grace Baker's favorite Disney film was released in the U.S. For entertainment, it hit the spot. Hint, hint. Was it Beauty and the Beast? Was it 101 Dalmatians or The Apple Dumpling Gang? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-KWAM. Join in on our conversation this morning. Joining us this morning is noted author and a guest speaker. She's been invited across the country and, of course, across the internet with coronavirus to speak on a variety of topics when it comes to caregiving, specifically to parents. We say good morning to author and personal friend Leah Stanley joins us this morning. Leah, thank you for joining me. I know you're in town briefly, and thanks for letting me grab you and pull you into the studio this morning.
Oh, thanks for having me, Tim. It's great to be here.
The name of your book is Goodnight Sweet, A Caregiver's Long Goodbye. Why'd you write the book?
Because when I was 29 years old, I was suddenly thrust into the caregiving role. I was a new bride, 8 months, and suddenly my grandparents needed help. Therefore, I was caught completely off guard, did not know what I was talking about, had to learn everything on the fly, and I want to help people who are in that situation not face what I had to face.
That in itself had to be, I would guess, a daunting task, not just from an emotional standpoint, but I think over time and looking at your book, that it's more than just the meeting the physical needs of your grandparents. There's kind of a 360 approach to not just the medical side, the physical side, but there's other things if there's really truly care to give them the best life and to take care of you. Can you talk a little bit about really the all-around approach?
Well, it is enormous. It encompasses every area of your life. Anyone who's been a caregiver knows that. And it's unbelievable because it's not a 9-to-5 gig. You're not done at 5 o'clock because if you're living with the person, if they're in the home with you, then clearly you are taking care of physical needs. But there's also your own emotional needs because it's so hard to watch your loved ones go down and have to cope with that because it's almost like, I tell people it's like death by inches. And it is so slow, and it can be so painful, it's so emotional, and you don't want to show that to the person, because if that sadness comes across to your patient, that can bring them down as well. So I always say, you know, you have to, caregiver self-care is so, so important. Make sure that you're taking care of yourself, get your rest, get frequent breaks, move heaven and earth, do what you have to do to get people in there to help you.
Alzheimer's and dementia, we're seeing those numbers grow across the country, and I think that's why your book and what you're doing becomes more important by the day. Can you talk a bit about, I guess, the personal growth for a caregiver? I'm sure there are little victories that you get to celebrate, but then there's also frustration because as you see health decline, you probably feel like that you lose a little bit of piece of your family, a little piece of yourself.
I found out, again, through experience, that older memories are preserved longer. So when I would deal with my grandmother, if I tried to talk to her about what was happening today or yesterday, she was clueless. But one day, in frustration and just, oh my gosh, I've got to do something, I asked her about a trip. I said, did you ever go to the Smoky Mountains? Oh, that was all she needed. She was off and running. And for that moment, I felt like we were cheating Alzheimer's. It was glorious.
Oh, that's amazing. And it all just kind of, you just kind of tripped over it, didn't you?
Did, indeed. And it was wonderful. And I recommend it to anyone. Always go for the older memories. Use photographs. Ask them questions. Even if it is a story that they have told you 1,000 times and you think, if I hear this one more time, I'm going to pull my hair right out. Ask them again. Let them tell you. This validates them because everyone wants to feel validated. Everyone wants to feel valued and like they have something to contribute.
Did your grandparents know? I mean, did they know that their health?
In the early days, people tend to realize there's a problem and they'll start to try to compensate for it. They'll start scribbling little lists and things like that. But obviously it advances. So yeah. I think they reached a point where they had no idea there was a major problem.
Yeah. Leah Stanley joins us this morning. The book is Goodnight Sweet, A Caregiver's Long Goodbye. We've talked about the health side of things, but we oftentimes have Randy Hutchinson from the Better Business Bureau in here, and the elderly so frequently are targets of getting scammed. They're targets of being taken advantage of, and as if taking care of the physical side weren't enough, you also have found experience and you help coach those on the financial side of things, the logistics. Can you talk a little bit about the importance of taking care of those non-emotional things as part of caregiving?
Exactly. The business side of things. I always tell people, you need a power of attorney document to care for them before they pass away, and you need a last will and testament to take care of them after they pass away. The two documents do not work at the same time. Power of attorney comes first, and if you don't have a power of attorney, or if there's not one in place, a guardianship or a conservatorship from a judge, it will be very, very hard for you to care for your loved one. Very, very difficult. It can be done, but you're going to have to knock down a bunch of walls to do it. So when you have those documents in place, it just opens the doors to give you what you need in order to take care of people.
And it's less expensive to take care of it on the front end than it is to try to litigate things.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Get the power of attorney documents drafted, because a conservatorship, it takes ages to go through a court. It takes lots of money to go through a court.
Yeah. And talk a little bit about your husband, Chris. I know he's been by your side through this. You talk about self-care. How was your relationship through that? That had to be very difficult because I'm sure it changed your identity a little bit.
It really did. Again, I took a long time trying to find myself as a caregiver. And my husband, Chris, was fantastic. He was at my side the whole time. And the support that I had, I cannot oversell that. Have a support system around you. Have a friend or your spouse or whoever it is that can come alongside you and walk it, because you cannot walk this journey alone. You cannot.
Folks, if you want to find out more about Leah's book, again, it's called Goodnight Sweet, A Caregiver's Long Goodbye. And if you want to find out more about caregiving, you can find all that on our live show blog, Mighty990.com. You can check her out on Twitter as well at the word one, O-N-E, One Care Voice, and also on Facebook.com. But you can go to our live show blog, pick up all of that information. We'll also show you where you can pick up a copy of that book as well. Leah, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I guarantee you there are probably some folks that are having that anxiety that maybe perhaps they're about to walk in your shoes. And I highly encourage people to go to our live show blog, find out more, because they don't have to walk this alone.
That's exactly right.
Leah, thank you so much for joining me this morning. And again, go to the live show blog and you can catch that at Mighty990.com. Have a good week. Thanks, Leah.
Thank you.
All right. There's Leah Stanley on the Mighty 990. It is 7:58. And we've got a call this morning. Let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Bill in Cordova, good morning.
Good morning, Tim. How are you this morning?
Better than I deserve to be. Finest frog hair. How about you?
I'm just fine, too. You are talking this morning about a subject very near and dear to my heart and my family's. Our mother had a stroke in 2014. It was devastating. But we were told that with 2 years of physical therapy, she could make a very good, well, quote unquote, a recovery that would astonish us. The problem was Medicare only offers 100 days of physical therapy. Then you have to wait 60 days to qualify for another 100 days. Oh. And there's more to this, kind of a synopsis, before you qualify for another 100 days. But that 100 days can't be related to the first. So even if you get 100 days, you can't continue physical therapy.
So what Leah's been talking about is spot on then, that it is not just a struggle to help care for the physical health, but all the logistics and trying to keep up with all the government red tape, right?
Exactly. I was threatened with jail getting my mother on 10 care.
Oh, goodness. Hey, Bill, I'm sorry. We're up against a hard break, but thank you for your call this morning. Coming up, top of the hour news, weather, and traffic. We're going to get up to 70 degrees today? Say what? Top of the hour news, weather, and traffic with Grace Baker. Hour number 3 on the way. You're listening to Wake Up Memphis on the Mighty 990.